Welcome to the Quest Fishing Adventures podcast, season 2. Hi guys, and welcome back once again to another podcast. And as I always say, if you're new here, welcome. I really genuinely hope you enjoy it, and I hope you can take something from it, and maybe you can teach me a trick or two. And if you come back from a previous podcast, you know what I'm going to say, guys. You are a complete legend. I really do appreciate you coming back. So after my last trip a few days ago, it was a Friday evening, with my float tactics for the carp on Towers Lake, I kind of like can't stop thinking about it, and I really want to try out my setup, my idea with the boilie on the hook on the obviously float tactics. I really want to try that out. If you're not listening to that podcast, definitely go back and listen to that one first, and that'll give you more of an in-depth understanding on what I'm actually talking about right now. So it was also great to, you know, catch some carp on boilie too on the float rod. I sort of said this before, not that I didn't think it was possible, but I just kind of like got in my head set that, you know, you only use boilie for like when you're fishing, you know, with your big carp rods out, you know, on the bottom, like, you know, or, you know, on a pop-up or on a bottom bait or something like that. I never really thought that using it on a float could work. Now, what excites me a little bit more as well about it, it could save me loads of money, because, like, you know, as you know, I love using lobworms, and I'm not going to stop using lobworms because I just think they're absolutely a fantastic bait. And certainly if I go back to the carp farm, 110% I will be taking lobworms there and fishing lobworms over boilie. But that it's just fantastic to, you know, to see that they work. I think the problem with them is working out the correct rig set up at the bottom, you know, to be able to hook the carp. That was clearly the problem. Also thinking about a little bit more in depth, after finishing the last podcast, it could be because some of the carp that I was picking up were small. Mind you saying that, I always say this, dinner guys, then I start like thinking some stuff in my head. I think it could be that some of the carp in there are small. Maybe you know, the boilies were too big, even though they're only like 12 millers. No, they were 12 millers. I think they were 12 millers. But yeah, so sorry guys, rambling on a little bit. So what I've done is those boilies that I was using in that session had been soaking in some citrus oil for like about a year now, seriously. And I used a lot in the little tub. So what I've done since the last session, I have actually put some more in a tub, and they've been soaking. In fact, straight after the session, when I packed up, I put some more boilies in the tub, and when I got home, I dripped in some more citrus oil. So they've been soaking in that. And yeah, I'm gonna go with the rig setup that I talked about at the end of the last podcast, which is the bait screw on the hook. And I'm this time sort of like shaving down the boilie, which I might do. The reason why when I was shaving down, I was worrying that I was going to be taking off some of the citrus smell. But then thinking about now in my head, if it's been sitting in, the citrus oil has been sitting there for a year, it's obviously well soaked in within the boilie. But yeah, so I probably won't like shave them down, but I'm going to screw it straight on and see how we get on with that. I think it'd be worth playing with the hook a length. So obviously when I've got the boilie on the bottom by the hook, you know, I have a little shot that then leads up to the weight, and the shot is what holds the bait on, you know, to the lake bed. So I might just adjust the distance there to see if that makes a difference. When I'm fishing lobworm, I kind of leave quite a big gap between the hook and the shot, just to give the carp a chance to pick up the lobworm and suck it in, because it's, you know, the lobworms are quite big, and you can lose or not hook a lot of fish because you're striking too early, because the carp has only just sucked it in. So you kind of almost, well, you're just pulling the worm straight out of its mouth. You haven't given it a chance for the hook to be sucked in to be able to set the hook. So I'm going to play around with that and maybe shorten the distance down a little bit, because I'm just being mindful of, like, a boilie is it heavier than a worm? Is it heavier than one? Probably not, actually. But I think it's worth adjusting that, because I don't need to give it as much time to set the hook. So that's what I'm going to do there. Yeah, so going to get back on Towers Lake. I kind of want to, obviously, it's a no-brainer, is get back in that swim again. I will do that, but I do want to roam around as well, because that obviously paid off last time when I went down there. And, you know, I started in the typical swim that I do like starting on that lake, because we've had quite a few carp from it. But you know, when I was obviously fishing it, the key thing I would say as well is, you know, keep your eyes on the lake. And I saw cats. What am I talking about? I saw carps. Carp. I saw carp boshing out of the water, and then I react on the back of that, and I would go down to those, you know, those areas and fish it. And the one, this obviously the area that produced these carp last week, was one of them areas. So definitely basically look at the water. If you see the carp boshing, you know, we're only float fishing, so we're well mobile. Go and move to the carp, make it happen. So that obviously paid off. So I'll be doing that again now, just because the carp were there in my last session doesn't mean the carp are going to be there today. We all know that. So yeah, that's the plan anyway. I've only taken boily there, or white citrus nashy boilies that have been soaked. I've only taken them, and we're just going to fish them, and we're going to see what happens, and we'll just adjust the hook, distance from the shot to the hook, as I said. So yeah, that's the plan, guys. So let's have a quick look at the weather and see what that's saying. Do you know, talking about the weather, just before I go on what the weather's like today, it was interesting because if you recall from the last podcast, I did talk about on the stats of like, where it gives you that fish on how many fish on there, whether you're going to catch or not. Remember I said it was fish with bones? It kind of suggests that, you know, you don't catch. And I totally proved that's like, you know, that just gives you the idealistic conditions to cap carp. If it's got a sign up there that says you're not going to catch carp, or like the chances are very low, it doesn't mean you're not, because, you know, we had a few carp out, you know, we lost two nice ones. So it definitely means if it says that, you know, that's not true. And I knew that anyway. Well, I think we all knew that. You know, well, we did know that. I just think it just gives you the idealistic conditions to catch carp, you know, if you are targeting a big carp and everything aligns together, like to say, you know, it's going to be a good session, a good time to go fishing, then obviously go with that, definitely. But yeah, don't go for it. If it says, oh, you're not going to catch a fish, don't go. You know, there you go. So anyway, let's have a look at the weather today, because I'm rambling on a little bit too much now, and let's see what it looks like. So just a quick look at the weather. Pressure is around 101.9, which is round about what it was on my last session, with a northwesterly wind coming in, which is different. I think I can't remember the wind direction the last one, but it definitely wasn't northwesterly. According to the good old fishing app that shows you the fish on, you know, how good it's going to be at fishing, it's got 3 fish today. So that'll be interesting to see. If we caught a few fish last time, does that mean we're going to catch like double of the amount or triple of the amount now? We'll see. I don't think it's going to be the case though. The moon is at 58% nearly full, and it looks like it's going to be a overcast day with the odd splatter of rain here and there. So yeah, super excited about it. So I'll see you bankside, guys. All right, guys, I'm not bankside, but I was just thinking about my last podcast, I left a gap from the end of the fishing trip to the next day to finish off. I neglected to mention in there what I was thinking about with my knot, because I remember I lost a couple of nice carp in there where it snapped off. And it left me after that session thinking, why? How did that happen? You know, I don't think it was down to, you know, like my line's like new on there. Because the reel's new, as you know, if you listen back to a few of my podcasts back, that Dwyer reel's, you know, super new. And so I put fresh, like, new line on, so I know it wasn't that. So I was beginning to think, was it my knot? Was my knot not tight enough? And then I was questioning myself, because the first time that happened, bankside, on that session, when I did the knot, I made super extra vigilant care to make sure it was, like, tight and moisturized. So, basically, I thought I'd ask Alex see what knot he's using on his float setup, and he said he's using the blood knot, which is the blood knot that I was using. And he says, "Mate, you must have not moisturised it enough." But I know I did, so it left me wondering. Well, A, is there something wrong with that knot, or B, was there some weird kink in the line that I never noticed? Was it something to do with that? I don't know. So one thing I have done different in this session coming up, I'm trying to pull my knot, which is meant to be one of the strongest knots out there. I've never used that like straight through to the hook. I've always used that, like, you know, from like braid to like a swivel, and that scenario, but not this type of setup. So that'd be interesting to see. And honestly, this time when I tied my rod up yesterday, I put so much moisture on that knot, honestly.
So hopefully it's gonna hold out. Also, I also think it's worth adding in as well. I changed my line. I actually did change my line. Before I was using Subline, which is I use on all my carp rods, like my main big carp rods. And I was thinking, oh, I'm float fishing here. Why am I using like a heavy line? You know, is that causing me to like not lose fish, but deter fish, a bigger carp coming in, the wary ones, and they're seeing the line and you know, moving off? Because the beauty of like fishing with a float is you're fishing straight down to the bed of the lake, you know. So the fish, in theory, there's less line on the lake bed for the fish to see. So you know, hopefully you should, you know, less spook, less carp. But I'm thinking, I'm using like this 15 pound sub line, you know, are they seeing it? So I've gone out, I went to my local tackle shop, spoke to them, my number mates in there, got on really well with them, and they recommended this Fox floating line. So gonna see how that goes. It's like clear mono, it's like, whereas the sub line's like kind of green, this like really like clear, it's like not fluorocarbon, which is like transparent. This is like, it's not that, but it's very clear. So I'm interested to see if that makes a difference as well. You know, do I start getting into bigger fish, or is it just going to be the same? I don't know. So yeah, I thought it was worth adding that in there too. Well, so I just thought that as I was talking about my knot change in my rigs up. But yeah, so sorry guys. Yeah, so next time I promise you I will be bankside, guys. You know what, guys, I lied. I'm not bankside, but literally I was just thinking to myself, it's worth mentioning this comment as well. Definitely, it's always worth, you know, thinking what, I know I say this before, but I think it's definitely worth adding into, like, you know, many of my podcasts, but it's always worth thinking, like, you know, what could I have done different when you walk away from a session? You know, what can I change up? How can I catch more fish? You know, what is affecting every different scenario? And I think, like, my last sessions has been a good example of that. Well, I've come away and I've changed like my knot, I've changed like my line, I'm thinking about like my shot from the shot to the hook. See, please take away from this podcast and your own fishing, like, you know, when you walk away, you must always question it, you know, 100% question it. What could I have done different? And I believe that will definitely help people, you know, 100% catch more fish, you know, put fish in the bank. I certainly agree with that. And sorry guys, I just add that in there. You know, my podcasts are like, you know, it's just a bit of it's like a brain dump, you know, it really is. And you know, it's, I don't know, I hope you guys enjoy anyway. Anyway, I promise you the next segment I will be bankside, guys, I promise you. Right guys, we are here. I've not gone in the spot yet. It looks like there's one other angle on the lake. I kind of want to save that swim till later on, if I'm honest with you. I don't want to be seen fishing. I want to kind of keep on the low down. Tempted to go and chuck some bait in though, some pellet, which I think I do now I'm set up once I move from this swim. But yeah, we've got it out. As you come in through the gate, I'm on the end swim. So literally where I normally fish, well, I used to normally fish a lot, down the opposite end, where I said there's two swims right on the end, literally opposite that, there's a swim opposite that on the other, literally the other end of the lake. So I've gone in there and I've had some carp from there before. I think it's quite a good spot. So let's see how we get on. The wind's blowing down into this end of the lake as well. Notably, that's a word, isn't it? So I'm kind of liking that. That's got a good carpy feeling about it. Sun's out, it's bright. Got my glasses and hat on, because there's lots of glare. So fingers crossed, we can get one. If we're lucky, get more than one out. So I shall keep you guys updated what I do, and we should go from there, guys. Well, guys, that was an extremely quick start to the session. I've just landed a small but pristine little mirror. Absolutely stunning. Literally out for about 3 minutes, I'd say, and that was it. Gone, struck straight into it. Gave me a little bit of a fight, but absolutely beautiful. I've got some nice little photos of it. It's only me here, as I said, but I've got some other little photos of it. Absolute stunner. Go on the Nash Citrus, come on. Right, I've moved swims. I have baited up the spot. I'm talking quietly because I'm fishing the marshes and my float rods. My float's right in front of me to the right. Now, I've gone round. Where I was catching them fish from, I didn't know this. I've gone down to the swim that it's actually next to, and it turns out that that is actually an island. So you actually go and walk, you know, it walks down to the island. And I just thought the bridge over to it, this small little bridge, was just, I didn't think anything of it really. So I've come around the other side, to where where I'm going to want to be fishing later. And I've baited up down there, which is like the inlet outlet to, like, you know, the channel around the island. Now, I'm convinced, like, how them fish were moving the other day, that they move around this island, that's for sure. And they definitely like it in, you know, behind it, because no one fishes in there, because you can't. So yeah, I'm in there, or I'm around this other side now, bit of bait in there. Let's see what happens, guys. Fingers crossed we can get one. Well, guys, I was right. Spot on. 3 minutes again, guessing. Just had another mirror carp. Bigger than the other one by probably about a pound, 2 pounds, something like, probably pound and a half, 2 pounds, something like that. Absolutely beautiful mint condition. We uploading the photos on Instagram, where you already would have seen them anyway. And done a short little video as well of it, which should be on my Facebook page. But I'm absolutely buzzing, guys. Absolutely love catching carp of all sizes. Puts a massive smile on my face. When I come and fish a water like this, and I don't expect, you know, I know that, you know, I'm not going to catch a big one, but there's lots of small ones in here. This is what I'm coming for. I'm coming to get a bend in the rod and put a big smile on my face, and job done. That's two carp within, like, you know, probably an hour now. So absolutely buzzing. Rod's back out again now. Come on, Nash Citrus. It's definitely doing the job down here. Absolutely smashing it. Do you know what one of the most exciting things is about float fishing in the margins, when you can actually see everything here, is the bubbles. When you see them carp bubbles coming up, your heart just starts to beat faster, because you know there's a fish in the swim, and you just know there's a chance that the carp might take your bait. And that's what I've got going on now. I love seeing carp bubbles. It's one of the best things in the world to see. I'm absolutely buzzing, guys, honestly, absolutely buzzing. All right, it's probably been about 45 minutes now, and I've not managed to hook one. I've had a couple of, the float's gone down a couple of times, and I've struck into it, and nothing there at all. So I couldn't tell you if a fish picked up the bait, or if it was just the fish, you know, knocking the line as they swam into the line, they pulled the float. But there's definitely been 100% being carp there. The carp bubbles a lot. It's they're around. Definitely contemplating a move in the swim, though. Today we've gone into two swims, and, you know, within 3 minutes we've had a fish, so... I don't know. Well, I don't know. I might move. I might do one move up the top of the lake, because the wind's no longer hammering it down to this end, and then drop back onto the swim that I want to go in, where I definitely feel confident in there. Yeah, we'll give this swim for another 10 minutes and see what happens. I've just shortened the shot to the weight to see if that helps catch fish. But let's try it and let us find out, guys. And yeah, fingers crossed. Right, I decided it's time to get in on, because I won't be able to see my float when it gets dark. I still haven't got any night lights for my float. I've gone into the swim. That guy's still over there, but he's only one guy, so I should be fine. I find a lot of the older people on this particular lake just like that a particular swim and tend to go in their particular swim, and I'm hoping he's one of them, and that's his swim over there. But yeah, so I've come in here. I've definitely seen the bulrushes move again, so there's definitely a carp in there. Let's see what I can do, guys, and hopefully get another one out. Got a duck in here now, eating some of my pellets that have floated up. Great. Well, anyway, let's see what happens, guys. Fingers crossed. Well, a float just went down, hooked into it, had a fish on for about 5 seconds, and it came off, and I pulled in two scales, so it was clearly foul hooked on the side. But to be honest with you, they're not tiddly scales. So that's a potential fish gone. They keep knocking the bulrushes here. Like, you know what I was saying before, like, one thing that was really exciting about float fishing is the bubbles. The other thing about float fishing for carp is when they're knocking the bulrushes and you just know they're in the area. It's the same thing. It gets the heart pumping. I'm absolutely buzzing, guys. Really hope I can get another one out. I really do. Gonna keep trying, guys. You can also see down here, look, kicking up all the silt. It's all clouding up in patches where I've chucked the pellet down. It's quite a buzz to see that as well. And it's like, cause you just know that it's just another sign and proof that they're in there feeding on the pellet. Maybe I should switch over to a pellet as the bait on the hook. That might be an idea. I do have pellet in the bag from last week still. I think it's like 8mm pellet or something like that. So maybe I should try that. But let's see how it goes, guys. Well, I just lost another one. Had him on for a bit. Definitely hooked and just like popped off. I definitely think it's down to the boilie and the hook and the arrangement on that. So I still need to figure out that and work out the best method to float fish boilies. I will figure it out. I will find out. I'm going to do some research on it, do some more research and do some more thinking about it, obviously, as I do, and update you guys. But yeah, I think that's the reason why I'm not landing as many as as I'm hooking. But you know, we'll get there. We'll figure this one out. It's great fun doing it still. Absolutely love it. Well, something positive to take from this session as well. I just like did a cast, went straight into the bull rushes, and I probably like snagged up on it, and I literally had to pull like proper hard, like, you know, when you tighten up your clutch, you just kind of walk back, and it just popped straight out in the end and didn't snap at all. So I'd say that Palamon knock has definitely done the job. I think what's so good about that is there's not many, like, you know, when you're doing a blood knot, you turn it like, you know, 6 or 8 times, whatever you want, whatever you do. And I just think you're adding more bend and more chances for it to snap up, because you're putting, you know, it's not no longer straight anymore. You know, you're putting too many more bends in it. I'm not saying it's a crap knot at all in the slightest. I've used it for years, but this Palamon knot, you know, it could be a one-off, but it's, you know, you're literally just like pushing it through the eye, like doubled up, coming back, like tying, like doing like a little knot and coming back on yourself over the hook. So there's less complication in it. Obviously lube it as well. So it's less complicated than the blood knot. And I really do believe that, I think that's a better knot going forward for me for this type of fishing, tying mono straight onto your hook. So yeah, buzzing about that. I just need to sort out the hook and the boilie situation. Definitely, I think that's clearly the problem I still need to resolve. But we'll get there. Obviously, if you guys know an answer or got any suggestions, please like put it on my Instagram or my Facebook. Yeah, that'd be absolutely fantastic. I really would appreciate that. Even if it's just an idea and I can trial it out if I haven't thought of it. Definitely, I really would appreciate that. Thank you. And obviously, I'll shout you out for it as well. I won't take all the credit for it. That's not how I do things. But yeah, that's my thoughts on the knot. Well, guys, I've decided to call it a day. Unfortunately, didn't manage to put another carp on the bank. And to be honest with you, I think that's solely down because the carp were definitely there and I definitely had them in the swim. I definitely lost a couple. I think it's solely down to the boilie on the hook. Obviously, I've got to set the hook. You know, I'm not relying on a weight to set the, you know, set the hook. So it's down to me. Now, I'm not entirely happy with, as I've said a few times now, with how it's set up. There's got to be a better way of doing it. So at the moment, I've just got a hook. I've got a boilie screw and a little bit of plasticky thing that just goes on the top. Obviously, stops it from falling off. You know, the thing using a spinner rig, like a stop. It's not right. It's ain't not right about it. I don't want to overcomplicate the whole thing at all. But I want it right. If I got to complicate it, obviously I will complicate it. So I need to have a good think about it. I need to do some research. I need to work out where this is going wrong. Because I'm definitely losing fish. And I don't like losing fish. I want to be putting fish on the bank. So yeah, food for thought. That's what I can go away with. But I'm super happy. Had two lovely little nice carp. Two lovely little mirrors. Absolutely stoked about them. If you got this far, obviously, thank you. You're a true legend. I really do appreciate your support and love. If you're not listening to my other podcasts, go back and listen to them. That'd do me a great favour. Hit a like on it, leave some comments, whatever. Anything like that would be absolutely fantastic. And I shall see you guys in my next podcast. Thank you so much, guys. If you're not done already, guys, you could do me a massive favour and hit me up on Instagram. Just search Quest Fishing Adventures. On there, I'm uploading some photos and some short videos. You can also ask me questions or give me some advice too. That'd be absolutely mega. Anyway, take care of yourself, guys, and tight lines, and see you in my next podcast.